why is it still so important in 2019 that all female bands are part of our musical community?
Because it seems like jazz in particular is one of the last bastions of sexism. And we learn that going into these schools. Every girl we talked to had a story of how they were put down or discouraged and made to feel inferior and not picked, they were, when they joined the band, they'd be given a flute or something. Like, no, they'd have to fight to play the instrument that they want to play, which is ridiculous in this year. When I was young, as all my jobs when I was younger, like working in this nursing home, I wanted to be a cook. No, you have to be a tray setter. You have to serve the coffee. You can't be a cook. My next job out, like I could name one job after another where I was, when I joined a kitchen out in Boulder, Colorado. So now I'm on my own. I'm 18 or whatever. I said, I want to be a dishwasher. Oh, we have an opening for a waitress. No, I want to be a fucking dishwasher. And to just have, okay. Just to like fight my way up. And we need a new kitchen manager. And they asked my boyfriend, who didn't even want to do it, and so I'd have to fight and say, I want to do it, why didn't you ask me? Oh, I had no idea you wanted to do it. So that kind of just being overlooked is still happening with girls in schools. It's ridiculous, especially in jazz, like the jazz band. Apparently there are a lot of music teachers that don't recognize girls as equals. So unfortunately we're still very much needed. Group like the Mood Swings, it's kind of funny because it would be great if it wasn't needed. The goal is that it wouldn't be needed, just like the Freedom Trail Band. There was a kind of existential point where, do we still need to march in gay pride? Do we still need a gay pride parade? Apparently we do. Until everyone is accepted and celebrated for who they are and who they love and how they dress and how they identify, until it's not just like tolerated and accepted, but actually celebrated, then we need these things that empower us. So just accepting that women can be professional jazz musicians is not good enough. They need to be. The girls, right from the start, have to be celebrated and encouraged. I've worked on turning us into an official nonprofit organization, which we're in the state of Massachusetts, we're nonprofit. I'm not done with the federal stuff. And I have a dream of, so I'm calling us the Mood Swings Music Incorporated. And this dream of it being an umbrella organization that supports that can encompass any group that supports women and girls in music, especially jazz. So the Mood Swings Orchestra will be the first of those groups. Maybe we'll have a Dixieland band. I want to have a Dixieland band called the Hot Flashes. It's just an idea. Last summer, Jude and Suzanne and Diane Hefner and I and Andrea, I think it was just the five, played for some kindergarten kids, and we called ourselves the Swing Set. So I want to develop these little groups and have them, support them financially and otherwise. And a few years ago, we did a thing called Girls Play Jazz 2. I don't know if you heard about that. Has anyone told you about that?
Yeah, Tib started to mention it.
Yeah, and Chris Reif was the person who really made that happen.
Okay.
I did have a write-up of, I want to do this whole thing. And then independent of that, Chris and Jude were already talking about it. Like, wow, that sounds exactly like what I was thinking of doing. So I sent them my framework of what I think we should do, and they ended up incorporating some of that. But I'd written this, it's so funny because I'd written it up like 10 years earlier, where like we would play and we would have a girl sitting next to us. It would be like a mood swings and a girl and a mood swings and a girl. And it was a beautiful thing. We have a recording of it, like video of their performance and teaching them how to improvise and to just to get past the fear that they and the intimidation that they feel when they improvise in front of the boys and the men. So that was a cool thing. So I'd like to be able to get grants as a nonprofit organization, get grants for projects like that. So that's what I'm hoping.
So you've just mentioned the projects that you'd like to run, the educational projects. And you said about the girls are afraid to improvise in front of the boys. Could you expand a little bit more, like, why you feel that is, or why the girls have said that they're afraid?
I believe that they would not be selected when the musical director was looking for volunteers or soloists. They would be overlooked. And the way that the boys would solo would be like screaming high notes, and, you know, it would just be a different style. And they would feel like their style was not celebrated. You know, whether it be like sounding more like a ballad, or, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with Chet Baker, but beautiful cornet playing, you know, and very mellow style. And I think if a girl were to play like that, they would be encouraged to, no, play louder, play, you know. And so, and then I guess they would get teased, you know, they would get insulted or put down, and so they would just feel not good enough and not able to make mistakes. Like, they'd get made fun of if they made mistakes, whereas obviously in our group we have, sometimes we'll have a rehearsal where we're just opening it up for anybody to play a solo, and we encourage everything, you know, just play one note and give a little bit of rhythm, like, yay, you did it, you know. And the girls aren't getting that. So that's what we did, was to teach them that the one note is fine, and then how about one, and then add this other note, and then maybe add this other note, and you're good. You know, you can do a lot with those three notes.
And that sounds very similar to the sort of the workshops that Hef was running for the women in the band.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a very similar thing. And then she was getting a little more advanced. Like, it was a great workshop because it was valuable for the women who were just not at all experienced in soloing. But then she added some theory and stuff that would help the more experienced players. Yeah, that was great. So I would love to do a project like that again with the girls. And I especially want to bring a program like that to an underserved community. Like, we did this up in Ipswich, and it was kids from, you know, Wilmington and, you know, like North Reading, more affluent.
Sorry, for someone who's not aware of those areas, could you explain a little bit more about what that kind of demographic
is? Yeah, they're
affluent,
affluent, yeah. Their music programs have plenty of money. You know, so there's still this sexism, inherent sexism, but there's also more opportunities for those kids in general. I know that there's a, you know, there are other, there's a school for the performing arts or something in Boston, that I want to connect with. And I feel like there's just so many opportunities for the band to connect with music programs, especially music programs that are financially struggling, you know, because they won't have those same opportunities.
Did you experience that yourself, sort of comments like that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just in the, you know, in the band, in the high school band, the band director was surprised that I wanted to play low brass. Like, wow, you know, it was a huge reaction, which it might not have been if I was a guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But musical sexism. Yeah, I mean, probably before I can even remember. You know, if you look at the makeup of the youth band, the Salvation Army band I played in, you can kind of see it's just guys are on the trombones and it's all the women on alto horn, mm-hmm. like women played alto horn. And you can see it in old Salvation Army bands, and there's all these, you know, the ladies in their skirts, and that's who played alto. Everybody played cornet, and that was fine, but the low brass was all men, and the altos, it was just naturally women played altos. So it didn't even occur to me that was sexist, but that was just how it was. Yeah. Yeah, there were never any guys playing alto. Though the importance of it, I understand the importance of the group itself for all of us. It's a thread, it's an anchor for a lot of us when everything else in the world is, like, I don't have many friends. I don't nurture my friendships like some people do. You know, I've got a friend right in the next town and I really should call her. You know, I'm not good at that. I don't send little cards for birthdays and, you know, I'm terrible at that. So I don't nurture my friendships. And here's a, like, guaranteed, you know, every other week I see these women and I walk in and all these women are smiling to see me. Like, they smile at me. And so when I'm depressed, I've struggled with depression, I've been on medication for it, you know, it's at my worst. I go in there and even when I'm not there, I can close my eyes and remember that all these women love me, you know, and that can get you through a lot. And when there's fighting between them, which is really, really rare, but when there's a disagreement between them, I find it very crushing because they're my family. And yeah, it really touches each of us different ways. But for me, I had infighting in my family growing up. And so I'm really affected by when there's fighting between band members. You know, it's like my family's fighting. I don't like it. There's a certain safety in being an all-women group. I feel very safe. I feel like no one's going to hurt me. No one's going to cut me down. No one's going to take over. You know, take charge, take my power away from me. Which, you know, I'm in a business. I run a business. I'm there right now. I'm at my shop and working with men, even my beloved husband. And power gets taken away from me. You know, I'll be in mid-sentence and a male, you know, customer will just talk right past me to the guy beside me, you know, my husband or whoever. Like, that kind of crap just doesn't happen in the band, you know. That kind of invisibility that can happen when men and women are together sometimes. And the, you know, even decent men, they just don't realize they're participating in that, you know. So that never happens. And just I love listening to the laughter of a room full of women. There's just something special, something magical about that. To hear all these women talking at once and laughing and talking and laughing. Yeah, it's kind of intangible, but it's been really valuable to have that in my life. And for me, on a really personal level, being bisexual, I've been in relationships with women and men. And for me, what does it mean to be bisexual and also monogamous? Like that means I'm sticking with one gender, right? And yet, does that make me feel like there's something missing in my life? And I seem to have found that balance by, you know, without directing it to happen this way, but it's happened this way, that I've fallen in love with a man, and I have this fantastic female, you know, group in my life. I have all these women and a women-identified band. From just me on a very personal level, it's a way I've found that balance where I can be, you know, fully, like, happy, super happy with my husband and monogamous and all that, with a guy, like a guy's guy. And I can be sort of flirty over here and playful and just sort of express my sexuality in some ways with this group as well. So that's just my personal value that I have there. And it might be that way too with other women in the band. You know, there's a mixture of sexualities in the band, obviously. And I think that some of the straight women, or the women who are in relationships with men, this allows them to be sort of a little bit flirty and playful with other women. And it's all good. It's all good. You know, and it's not threatening to their home life in any way. So I might be presuming too much, but that's what it is for me anyway.